I'll say good evening as well. Brother Paul has asked, will we read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. What a beautiful day. The rain yesterday and a dreary day, and I had to thought how it can go from a dreary day to such a beautiful day so quickly. But, you know, the beautiful days wouldn't look so beautiful if we didn't have those dreary days and the rain. The lush green grass and the green plants wouldn't be so green if we wouldn't have those rainy, dreary days. So it's a blessing to see that rain and to have those showers on the outside as well. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. The power, we are given the spirit of power. That is the power of God. Through the Holy Spirit, we have been given that power. We need not to be fearful people. We have the power of God within us. With these thoughts on our minds, for all those that are able, will we please kneel for prayer.
We want to extend to you greetings in our Lord's name this evening. Thank each one for coming out, and certainly also want to welcome those who will join us this evening in other ways and those who may join us at a later time. We want to look tonight at the life of Timothy. He's fairly well known in the New Testament, and we can pick up some different clues about his biography, or maybe you could say a biographical sketch of his character. We want to look at that. And we want to look at it in particular in relation to the influence of a mother's faith. It's mentioned here in this passage in verse 5. Paul, when he's looking at Timothy, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. I am going to read from a literal rendering, the Berean Literal Bible, just to bring out some other nuances of how words can be translated. And it reads like this: having taken remembrance. So we want to notice the fact that Paul paused and remembered something. And this is what he remembered. He remembered the sincere faith. King James says unfeigned. Thought is sincere, or faith that is not merely practiced, but faith that is genuine, coming from the heart, of the sincere faith within you, again, the thought of coming from the heart, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in you also. Now, we see the faith legacy is starting with the grandmother, starting with Lois, and Lois transfers faith to Eunice, who becomes the mother of Timothy. And so when Eunice is giving Timothy a birth name, the birth name Timothy, and we know from reading our Bibles that names have meaning in Scripture. Sometimes we're even told the meanings of names. And a lot of times children are given names in relation to a certain event or a certain calling that they might have in their life. And so Timothy has two ideas that go with it. One is honoring God and the other is dear to God. And so when we look at the aspect of dear to God, clearly what comes out there is relationship. There's someone, his mother is very relationship focused, that she would choose a name like that. Honoring God, she is concerned about character development. And now as we look through Timothy's life, we want to see how Timothy's life starts to portray that name in his life. So she chose a name with meaning and direction for his life. And I believe another way of saying that is she gave him value through his identity with a name that connected him with God. And so now looking at this verse and starting to break it apart a little bit, when I call to remembrance, or Paul is saying when I take special notice by calling to remembrance the lineage of Timothy's faith. So Paul is looking at Timothy and he's saying there's something in Timothy that I see in three generations. And I can see what's in Timothy now actually first started with his grandmother. And so there's significance just in that thought, in that the seeds that we sow are not always most immediate in the next generation, but they are sometimes even bear a greater harvest in the third generation. And so Paul's taking notice of this. He notices that there's a sincere faith. That's how he calls it. Now we would say that how can faith be insincere? In other words, faith by its very nature means to believe or to embrace or to get a hold of. But there is such a thing as someone can have a mental faith versus a heart faith. You could believe something with your mind, but maybe not totally embrace it with your will. And so Paul is making it very clear that the faith that he sees through three generations is a sincere or a genuine faith. And he says it's within you. And so he's making specific note of the fact that this faith that he's seeing in these three generations as he pays attention to it is a genuine faith. It's coming from the heart. And it's something that stands out as Paul looks at these three generations. It started with a mother, passed on to another mother, passed on to a son, and that son became a leader in the church. From this passage, this simple verse here, it's evident that the influence of a mother and a grandmother was strong in Timothy's life because the character of his faith is linked to the character of his mother and his grandmother. The wisest man on earth wrote in Proverbs 31, says this. As he begins that proverb talking about a virtuous woman, he's giving credit to his mother and he's saying, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And so the teachings by Solomon, who was considered the wisest man on earth, he's saying that what he learned about a virtuous woman is what he learned from his mother. And so we often look at the role of a father in relation to teaching, and that certainly is very important. But not everyone has a spiritual father in their life for a biological father. And so here we have a picture of faith that's being passed on through grandmother, mother, to Timothy. Now there's the opportunity for a spiritual father to be in the next family. Although we don't know whether Timothy At least I was not able to determine if Timothy had a family or not. But what can we learn from this? The point that we learn from this is mothers are equipped by God to shape the character and the destiny of their children. That's point number one that we can learn from this verse. Mothers are equipped by God to shape the character and destiny of their children, and we could even go further, and their grandchildren. So this faith was passed down through mothers. We're not told anything about Lois's husband, but we are told a little bit about Eunice's husband in Acts chapter 16. So I would like to turn there so we get a little bit of background on Timothy's mother. Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 1, speaking of Paul, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed." So now we know that his mother was a Jewish woman, ethnically Jew, and she was also a believer. And now we have the word "but," showing the contrast. "But his father was a Greek." And so the "but" and the Greek are contrasting completely to Jewish and believing. So from that, we recognize the fact that the father was not only not a Jew, a Greek ethnically, but he was also a Greek in worldview. In other words, he was what we would call a worldly person, a carnal person. And so his worldview was different from that of his mother. But then it says concerning Timothy, verse 2, "which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." And so Paul notices this person, this Timothy, finds out about his background and his, obviously notices his character, finds out about his background. Luke obviously does the investigation too, because Luke records it. And so now we have a background for Timothy. We have a notable character, but we know that his father was not involved in the development of his spiritual character. It was his mother and his grandmother. So he has a Greek father for ethnicity, has a Greek worldview. Timothy then would have grown up in that world, that setting. He would have been one that didn't quite fit in either circle. He could not have been in the Greek circles. The Jews were looked down upon, and in the Jewish circles, they looked down on the Greeks. And Timothy would not have been in either one. Ethnically, that would have been something that would have been a challenge in his life, dealing with that separation that even the church struggled with for a period of time. But Eunice was deliberate in her training of Timothy in a home with a divided faith. We might wonder, well, why did Eunice ever marry this Greek man? And we certainly don't know the answer to that. We're not told. Could it possibly be that this Greek man had an interest in this Jewess and became a proselyte and then eventually turned back on Judaism? We don't know the answer to that, but typically a Jewish woman would not marry a pagan Greek. So perhaps he did it for convenience, converted to Judaism, but then went back to his Greek culture. We don't know the answer to that, but we do know that the faith that was passed on to Timothy was not coming from his father. But we see that this genuine faith that was in Lois and Eunice is being taught and implanted in the life of Timothy. It's a confirmation of how a home and child can be sanctified by one believing parent. Paul speaks of this in 1 Corinthians 7, where he says, if one is a believer, they're not to depart from the unbeliever. And the children are sanctified by that one believing spouse. And so we learn from that, and we have the example of how God gives special grace in situations where there's an absentee spiritual father, and God gives special grace to the mother to pass on a heritage of faith. And so there, that would be principle number two. When there is an absentee spiritual father, God gives special grace to a mother to raise godly children. So now we also want to look a little bit at this grandmother Lois, who is part of this lineage of faith. We might ask the question whether she also helped to instill faith in Timothy. Well, if we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look at verse 14. But continue thou, this is Paul talking to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So we have this word whom, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And when did you learn them? You learned them as a child. And so when you would first read over that, you might think, well, Paul was the one who was teaching Timothy. Paul was the one who was mentoring Timothy. Paul certainly was the one who was mentoring Timothy, but Paul was not mentoring Timothy as a child. Paul didn't come to know Timothy until he was already of good report among the brethren there and met him on a missionary journey. Now it's interesting also that word whom in many of the Greek manuscripts is clearly in the plural. So there's a couple people who are involved, more than one, that was involved in training Timothy. Well, we have two names that are mentioned that dwelt first in Lois and then in Eunice. And so here we have another clue that the grandmother and the mother were both involved in bringing the scriptures from an early age into the life of Timothy. We might wonder sometimes, how would all of that happen? Well, I'll pause here a minute, and I started to reflect some on my life and see how my life would sort of fit into this pattern that I see unfolding here. And if I go back through my mother's side to my grandmother, my grandmother had a lot of responsibility in raising 11 children and a lot of responsibility in instilling the spiritual values into those 11 children. In a lot of ways, for different reasons, that responsibility fell primarily on her. So she had 11 children, and then of course from that were many grandchildren, and I was one of the many grandchildren. And when we grow up as children, the only life we know is the life that we have, and so we don't really think outside our box, and whatever happens within our life is what we assume to be normal for us. But as I got older in life, and specifically as I was thinking about this, it's like there are some things in my grandmother's life that were very unusual. First of all, having the primary responsibility to provide for 11 children, and she took a lot of the responsibility of physically providing for them as well, again, due to a number of different circumstances. But she was also very invested in her grandchildren. And as I'm thinking back through my life, and especially as I got older, and as she knew that I had teaching responsibilities here and deacon responsibilities and ministry responsibilities, from time to time she would send me a list of questions or she'd send me a list of topics and say, the next time we get together, we want to discuss these scriptures, we want to discuss these topics, and we want to discuss these questions, because I had conversations with other people that I met as I was sharing my faith, and I would like to tell you how I respond to those questions, but I want you to tell me how you would respond to those questions. So it was my grandmother. That's how we knew her. That's what she did. But I can see now that there was more going on there than what I realized. And she liked to talk to people about her faith, and she would often interact with people that had no faith. And so the questions that I got asked many times were not easy questions. And she would interact with people from different faith backgrounds. And so again, the questions that I got asked were not easy questions. And then she'd want to dialogue with them. And she also had an interest in children. And while she was raising her 11 children, she was also teaching at some one-room schoolhouse Amish schools. Specifically taught at a lot of schools where they had problem children. So teaching 8 grades and raising children and trying to make a living for the family to help out. But you might look at that and say, well, she did that because she had to. And I'm sure to a lot of extent she was doing that because she had to. But it never changed her love for children. Up until we were trying to determine the time on the way here, but my wife and I think probably up to almost 90, she was involved in homeschool groups, organizing programs to go to old folks' homes and do a program and sing. And she's upper 80s and 90 doing this for old folks in a home. When I look at all that, I come to this conclusion: God has instilled in mothers to take an interest in the spiritual welfare of their grandchildren. That's something that God does. Now, we note also that this lineage of faith was sincere, it was genuine. And when a mother genuinely believes, it's interesting that what a mother genuinely and sincerely believes, the child will typically, naturally, or implicitly believe the same thing as they grow up. Because as they trust their mother, they trust what their mother says. They tend to believe what their mother believes, if especially they know, they see that their mother is genuine in her faith. And so the child will gravitate towards that. Later in life, even if a child chooses to take a different course in life, they will seldom forget the faith of their mother. We have witnessed children who have gone astray, weeping later in life at the graves of their mother. In fact, secular artists have written songs about this. A lot of country music singers, a lot of bluegrass singers were raised in Christian homes. And some of those who went out into the secular music industry had mothers who were praying for them. And they wrote songs such as this: "My rough and rowdy ways have kept me from His grace. But there's hope for me, 'cause Mama's faith is strong. She's the only hope I've got to keep me in touch with God, but who'll pray for me when Mama's gone? I guess I'm just too weak to fall down on my knees and talk to God like a man on my own. He knows who I am. She mentions me to Him, but who'll pray for me when Mama's gone?" And the chorus is, "Who'll pray for me when Mama's gone? Who'll ask His forgiveness from then on? Who'll care enough to talk to God when her pleading voice has stopped? Who'll pray for me when Mama's gone?" And in the case of my grandmother, one of my uncles said that at her funeral. And he's wayward yet. But his statement was, "Who will pray for me now that mother's gone?" Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." My father was aware of that statement. He changed that up to link it to Christ. But certainly, in the case of Abraham Lincoln, he was saying, "My character development, the man that I am, is largely due to the training of my mother." God has empowered mothers to create faith memories in their children, even if they should go astray. But more importantly, she passes on a sincere faith to direct them to the right way. We noted also in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, that Timothy had a good report among the believers. It says, "which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." And I see a parallel here. Lois and Eunice had a trustworthy reputation. They had a reputation of a sincere faith. And this was passed on to Timothy, who developed a noteworthy reputation. So the mothers, the grandmother and the mother, had a trustworthy reputation of sincere faith. And in the third generation in Timothy, not only was it a trustworthy reputation, but it was a noteworthy reputation that Paul would call to remembrance. He saw Timothy and he said, "Where did this faith come from?" This young man had training that came from somewhere. He noticed that. And Luke noticed that, and Luke recorded it in the scriptures. Proverbs 31 says, "A virtuous woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." And we could add to that, "and she passes on to her children the value of a good reputation." This line of faith was not just anchored to the mother, but anchored through the mother to the Holy Scriptures. Paul said to Timothy, "From a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." And so the faith that was passed on was rooted in the Scriptures. It's interesting that he uses the term Holy Scriptures. And I think with that terminology, Holy Scriptures, what Paul is saying is, your faith heritage, your mother and your grandmother, passed on to you a reverence for the Word of God. They weren't just called the Scriptures, they're called the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And so the Scriptures were used deliberately to bring Timothy to salvation, to bring Timothy to wisdom, which then brought him to salvation. Mothers are naturally defenders of their children. We're all familiar with the term mama bear. And I think we know what that means. It's hard for a mother to hear negative about their children. It's natural for a mother to always want to believe the best about their children that can be believed. But a godly mother knows their child was conceived in sin and needs salvation. And so at a very young age, mother and grandmother were implanting scriptures, giving wisdom with a very specific intent to bring Timothy to salvation. However good Timothy may have been, however obedient he may have been, however lovable his personality may have been, they knew that he needed salvation, and so they were deliberate and intentional in their training. A godly mother knows the value of implanting the scriptures into children at a young age. And as the mothers implanted scripture into the children, and there's that scripture base already in Timothy's life, Paul could then go to Timothy and say, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He trusted Timothy to study, and he trusted Timothy to give accurate and careful interpretation because he had a heritage of that. He was raised and trained in the scriptures from an early child. And we see, even though Timothy was a young man, Paul used Timothy to go to various churches and to provide them stability when he was still a young man. And that is largely due to a mother and a grandmother beginning scriptural training at a young age. Now let's look more at some of the faith and life characteristics of Timothy and see how Timothy's character development and what we learn about from Timothy, his characteristics, we could trace back to his mother and grandmother. In the beginning, chapter 1, we read verse 2, "My dearly beloved son." In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Mine own son in the faith." And so both epistles are opening with this idea of Timothy being a son of Paul. So we notice that Timothy was open for close relationships and he was open for mentoring. This is, again, points back to a child from a very early age had a close relationship, knew the value of close relationships, knew the value of being mentored. Because the child had that close relationship, knew the value of being mentored, it was an easy step to adopt a spiritual father, or to have a spiritual father adopt him as a spiritual son, to have a close relationship and to allow himself to be mentored. Because that is how he was raised. He was raised to be mentored. He was raised to love the Lord. He was raised to have close relationships. And so when someone took an interest in his life, he responded and he opened up. And he allowed Paul to become his mentor. Where he was missing male leadership in his life, we could say also that his grandmother and his mother did not turn him against male authority, because his life was willing to be opened up. Whatever Eunice may have been disappointed in his Greek father, maybe she was betrayed. Maybe she thought he would be a godly father, and maybe he turned back on Judaism. We don't know the answer to that, but his father could never be the spiritual father that Eunice would have hoped him to be. And Eunice had to step in, but yet in all of that, she knew her place and she knew that in time, Timothy's character development needs to be passed on to another man. And it's not just her mothering him for the rest of his life. He needs to be under male mentoring also. And so they prepared him to be a spiritual son of a man. This can happen in many ways. Sons certainly need good male role models. If they're readers, they need good reading material. And I can thank my mother a lot, for she knew that I had an interest in reading. I read everything I could get my hands on it at home. And soon that wasn't, well, I'll just say our library was more limited than what my interests were. And so she got Reader's Digest. As I got older, she put me on a subscription of Christian Mission Charities. And you probably have never heard of them, but they were a mission organization that were focused on taking the Bible into communist countries. And because she knew that I had an interest in world geography, had an interest in Christians in the Soviet Union. And so she put these things into my life as reading material. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 22, Paul says this, as a son with his father, speaking of Timothy, has served with me in the work of the gospel, as a son with his father. And so what Timothy was lacking in his upbringing, he got later in life as part of his character development. And that is to the credit of his mother and grandmother that raised him to be open to close and mentoring relationships. Mothers have a strong influence in the lives of their children for establishing close relationships that are healthy and nurturing. Timothy was not only taught by his mother, but at a young age, he was ready for leadership. Mentions he was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. Paul selected him out and said, I would like to take him on my missionary journeys with me. And then in different scriptures, we see this coming out. And I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia. So not only did he work with Paul, but then Paul entrusted him with responsibility. While Paul went on, he stayed behind at Ephesus when Paul went to Macedonia. And he says that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Another place, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Another place, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. What you can see here is Timothy was someone who could be trusted. He could be given responsibility. That just didn't happen. Mothers play a large role in giving responsibility to their children. They are teaching them to take responsibility. When they give them responsibility at a young age or at an age when they're ready for responsibility, give them some responsibility. Allow the child to take it. Because mothers, when they give responsibility to their children, they are teaching them to take responsibility. And later in life, they are developed to take larger responsibilities. Not only was Timothy being mentored, but he was mentoring others. His mother not only taught him, but she taught him well, so that at a young age he was able to teach others. Paul said this, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's a pretty long list. He's saying in every way, be an example. And he's saying, don't let others despise your youth. So think about it in this way. So if I'm coming as a young man and I'm put in a position of responsibility by a responsible person, and I take that responsibility, and now I need to exercise this responsibility with people that are older and more experienced than myself, and say that that audience, like Paul was saying, that there's some problems in these churches, and that's why I'm leaving you behind to give stability. So the young man is being left behind to give stability to older and more experienced men. And Paul is saying, your credentials are not your age. Certainly cannot be your age. So what would be his credentials? His credentials will be his character. So he says, be an example. Because if you are an example, then your word carries weight because your word and your life agree. Where did he learn to make his word and his life agree? Paul said, I noticed in your grandmother and in your mother unfeigned faith. Faith that practices what it preaches. Faith that is sincere. And so Paul knew, even though he was giving him a very difficult assignment, his mother had already taught him to be an example of what you teach. If you're going to teach something, be an example of what you teach. You see, a mother is seldom the most educated teacher that a child will have. but she has tremendous ability to demonstrate the credibility of good teaching by godly living. And the influence of godly living from a godly mother, even though she may not be the most educated teacher that that child will have in life, when the teaching and the life agree, the power of the influence is there, and that stays with someone who is called to be a teacher. It becomes their credibility. Their life becomes the credibility of their teaching. Now we might, if we stop right here, we might say, well, okay, so Timothy had a tremendous grandmother, he had a tremendous mother, and it seems like everything just went right. And it's not realistic to think that everything's going to fall in place for most people like it did for Timothy. Well, did Timothy have an easy life? Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. So now we know something about Timothy. We know that Timothy had a lot of physical limitations. Thine often infirmities. Infirmities, plural. He had more than one, and they happened often. So Timothy struggled with physical handicaps, weakness, and sickness. So Timothy was, by nature, by constitution, was not the strong person. And so Paul would have to encourage him, and Paul would say, be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Another place he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why was he saying these things? Because he knew that Timothy personally struggled, physically struggled, to carry out the work of the ministry. See, a mother's unconditional love and encouragement can inspire young men to engage in service in spite of physical handicaps and limitations. That's what a mother's faith will do. From Hebrews 13:23, we learn that Timothy was also in prison for a period of time. Because Paul mentions there that he was set at liberty, or he was freed from prison. From church history, we learn that Timothy settled at Ephesus. And around the year 97 AD, remember at Ephesus there was this riot. Great is Diana of the Ephesians, great is Diana of the Ephesians. They had that riot going through the city. And they were concerned that Christianity was going to overthrow their trades of idolatry. And Christian history would tell us that at one of the pagan feasts, the citizens of Ephesus were out in the streets celebrating this pagan festival. And Timothy went out in the street to confront them with the gospel. And he was beaten, and he died 2 days later. You might think, well, so Timothy had some physical limitations, but Timothy must still been by nature a bold person. But the scripture would suggest otherwise. 1 Corinthians 16:10, I'm going to read that. We learned something else about Timothy there. 1 Corinthians 16:10, Paul speaking to the Corinthians, now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. So in other words, when Timothy comes, make sure that you don't make him fearful, is what he's saying. Put him at ease. What does that tell us? Timothy is naturally a timid or fearful man. He doesn't have a strong personality like Peter or Paul. He's naturally timid. He's going to be young, so don't despise him. So Paul was trying to stand in the gap and saying, I'm standing behind this person. You Corinthians and your learning and the emphasis that you put on education, your tendency is going to be to want to run over Timothy. But I'm telling you, I stand behind Timothy. Put him at ease because he is there to do the work that I would do as if I was there. And so I'm standing behind Timothy. So Timothy struggled with fear. And Paul would write to him and say, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so Paul was encouraging him to put aside his personal fears and his personal insecurities and to be a servant of the Lord. Now Timothy may have looked at Peter and Paul and said, and thought, well, if I just had a more forceful personality, I could amount to a lot more for the Lord. If I was just more naturally wired to engage maybe in debate, if I was just naturally not so intimidated, I could be a lot more effective for the Lord. But Paul encouraged Timothy in a way that was suitable to his own personality. He says, The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. And you can see what Paul is doing. Paul is not only giving us, all of us ministers, good advice, but specifically, he knows where Timothy needs encouragement, and he's saying, As a servant of the Lord, God has suited you and gifted you to be someone who will not strive with people. You will be patient. You will be gentle unto all men. You will work with them until, he says, till God may peradventure give them repentance. You are the patient type of individual that we need at Ephesus. So Timothy benefited from a nurturing relationship from a grandmother and a mother. And because he was used to those relationships, he benefited from those experiences. He found Paul, and Paul continued that nurturing to give him the strength that he needed to minister to the Lord. As mothers, having the ability to nurture that relationship with the child, you are preparing that child to accept nurture from other people. Paul looked at this legacy of Lois, Eunice, Timothy, and said, There's a legacy there that we want to pass on. And Timothy, now you are a teacher. You are the one that's holding this legacy now. But this legacy is not just your grandmother and your mother. This legacy is also now involves the church and other men that you are teaching. And so he said that the things that you've heard among faithful witnesses, including your mother and grandmother, and by mentoring, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see, the teaching of a child is not just the teaching of a child, but it's teaching a child to be able to teach others. And a legacy can be passed on. So I would imagine if you're here tonight and listening to this as a mother, you're probably saying, okay, I cannot do all this. I just struggle to get through the day. If this is what I need to do, then I am a failure. You really think Lois and Eunice knew what Timothy was going to become? They didn't know what Timothy was going to become. They simply lived their lives with a sincere faith. They lived their lives with circumstances that were not favorable. I'm sure there was many times Eunice would say, well, if I just had a father, or I mean a husband and a father for Timothy who would help in the training, it would go a long way. But I don't get any spiritual help from my husband. So what made the difference in Timothy's life? Well, the verse is very short. Sincere faith. A mother with a sincere faith has the ability to give sincere influence. A mother who's willing to have a close relationship with the child is training a child for good and healthy close relationships. A mother who is willing to mentor a child in less than optimum conditions is teaching a child to be open to other mentors, teaching the child that life is not perfect. You see, I think all of this training occurred largely within the daily routine of their life. And it's in the daily routine of life that a mother goes through with the ups and downs, with the struggles. The training that occurs within that time frame is the realistic training. Taking a child and putting him in a pristine classroom with a nice textbook outside of the world may have its value in some ways, but it never replaces the training that a mother gives in the daily routine of life, teaching the child through the daily routine of life that life is not always easy. Life has very difficult days, but sincere faith, close relationships, and openness to mentoring by others makes a difference. We're not doing this alone. We have the Word of God. When we convey to our child the Word of God, we are conveying to them the wisdom of God. And so today we thank our mothers, our grandmothers, for the faith which they demonstrated to us in the daily routine of life, and for the biblical wisdom that we received from them in the regular family relationship.
Brother Paul highlighted the impact that grandmother and mother had on Timothy's life, in molding his life. Fathers, here tonight, could I see a raise of hands of those of you who feel you could have done it on your own without her help and without the Lord Jesus Christ? That's kind of what I thought. And you know, if you haven't tonight, if you haven't done it yet, it's still Mother's Day. Honor them. And let them know how important they are to you and to your children. All who are able, shall we reverently stand for a word of prayer.